Philippians chapter 1, next part, verse 12 to 26. Paul's chains advance the gospel. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. The word of the Lord for us today.
Well, good morning. It's amazing how God works. There I was at 6:45 this morning in the kitchen. That's my study, the kitchen. And the words came to me, "All to Jesus I surrender." And then when I came into church, there was Ant, I was going to say strumming, I shouldn't say strumming, should I? Was playing his guitar, "All to Jesus I surrender." It's amazing how God's Spirit works in us when we least expect it. The other thing what happened to me this morning was my good old watch packed in. The battery went kaput. So here I am with Liz's watch in my pocket. I wouldn't put it on my wrist just to let me know the time. That's nothing to do with what I'm going to share with you this morning. We're going to look at the next part of this letter, this wonderful, remarkably simple, straightforward letter that comes from the pen of Paul. This is not a theological exposition. It is a letter to friends. It's a warm letter. It's a confirmation of the love that he had for that church in Philippi. We could also say, could we not, that Paul was drunk with love for the Philippian church. If you want some background, go into Acts 16. And there we'll read about Lydia and the jailer and the girl who was the fortune teller. It's remarkable when we look at this particular scripture, my friends, that Paul was in prison. And that wasn't the first and only case. He'd been in prison before. There are the prison letters that we read, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. Prison was a regular experience, certainly for Christians in those early days of this burgeoning new life in Christ. But to me, this whole letter is encapsulated in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Is that true for us today? Are we rejoicing not only in the knowledge, the mind knowledge that we have, but the heart knowledge that God is with us? In this prison experience that Paul was going through, chained to a Roman soldier, and he was a scholar. We read that in Galatians. I wonder if he sat there thinking a few thousand years ago there was a similar experience for Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph? He was the spoilt pet of his father. His brothers hated him. They looked for reasons to get rid of him. So they threw him in a pit, and then he sold him to some Ishmaelites, and he went off as a slave in Egypt. And he sort of rose through the ranks of servant slavery until he was falsely accused of violating Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison for a couple of years. After a couple of years, Pharaoh was having some dreams. And Joseph was taken from prison to interpret the dreams. And he did so correctly, and he then thereafter rose through the social strata, as it were, of Egyptian society. I want you, when you go home, if you don't do it now, look up Genesis 50, verse 20. This verse is one of the great statements of faith. This is Joseph himself speaking to his brothers. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Is that purely history? Or is it something that God is continuing to do today? It's not a rhetorical question. Is it or is it not? Is God in the business of saving lives? I didn't hear that. Come along. Sorry, this side's very good. This side is asleep. This is the business of God in Christ. This is our business. We are called by God. We are chosen. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation set apart for the purposes of God. Not for Philip, for God. And Paul fully understood this. Let's briefly just, how did this power affect Paul? Let me just share a few verses with you. In verses 4 and 5, if you've got your Bibles open in Philippians 1, I know we're going back to last week, but it's important. And Paul says there, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Do you realize, my friends, we are partners in the gospel? It's our responsibility. It's our joy. It's our hope for the future. We are partners. And then in verse 12, he says, what has happened to me, thrown into prison, has really served to advance the gospel. Look around us in Barnstable. We can see the great need to advance the gospel of salvation. And then in verse 16, I am put here in prison to defend the gospel. How many times do we hear this expletive, oh my God, and we say nothing about it? Paul, if he heard it today, would certainly have some response. And finally, in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We read something similar in Galatians chapter 2, don't we? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Friends, the faith God has blessed us with is no less purposeful and passionate than the faith of people like Joseph and Paul. We have to have a passion for the faith. It's not a religion. Religion is killing the church. Amen? There's got to be a passion. You know, yesterday when I watched a little bit of the FA Cup final, there was passion on both sides. I know that the other one team, Watford, got trounced, but there was passion. They wore their scarves, their shirts for their team. What shirt are we wearing? It's in our faces. Is there a joy about the salvation that we live in Christ? Paul, that great evangelist, he must have felt terribly frustrated. There he was, chained in a prison. He was an evangelist. He wanted to get out and about. He wanted to talk to people. All he could talk to was the palace guard. But this was God's plan. Joseph in prison, Paul in prison, Christ in prison and crucified. It's part of God's plan. This church at this very moment is part of God's plan. Amen? And if God planned it for Joseph and even for Jesus, he's planning it for us. We need to listen. When I was in full-time ministry, I used to do this. So has anybody got a Bible? Okay. Please look up Isaiah 51:4. And if somebody's got a great big booming voice, would they please stand up and read, or come to the front and read it? Thank you. The authorized version would say, hearken. It's much stronger than NIV. Hearken. We've got to listen to God, especially now at this particular time and moment in this church's history. It's not a case of running away and doing all this and doing that, and it's listening. The importance of cooperative prayer cannot be overemphasized. For our part as believers, we also need to clothe ourselves. Clothe ourselves. Put on. Put on compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Paul was very concerned for the church at Philippi, but he knew that whatever happened to him would not affect God's standing with that new embryonic church. This is also true for ourselves here at Holy Trinity. Yes, yes, my friends. There has to be a period of healing and reconciliation after which the church will blossom. An old friend of my father's used to say, in his lovely Wiltshire accent, "Oh, I've got to chop the canes, the raspberry canes down, because they won't fruit on the old wood next year. The only fruit on the new wood." And that's what's happening. Maybe this church were being pruned. Pruned in preparation. Not because we're dead, but because we are alive and we can produce much more fruit. Fruit that will last. So, so important. Paul was aware that in his life, in his human life, life in the Roman Empire was cheap. Troublemakers, as they tended to call him, or a troublemaker, was dispatched without even the blinking of an eye. Paul knew he was not indispensable. Neither are any of us indispensable. But remember this, God has called us by revelation. God called Paul on the road to Damascus by revelation. He had a specific task to share the gospel with Gentiles. We have a task to share it with anyone who will listen. Friends, we have listened to the Archdeacon's statement, and in response, we are called to remain focused on Jesus Christ, who is and remains the supreme example for ourselves to follow, who said in that wonderful chapter, in those chapters preparing his disciples for his departure, in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, in verse 1, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." What's the next word? Trust. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. He went on to say, trust in me. When we experience the peace that Jesus gives, then we surely have accepted Jesus as our Savior, our Master, and our friend. When Jesus sent his, I'm just off the cuff, when Jesus said, sent his disciples out, when they came back, certainly in Mark's Gospel in chapter 6, Jesus said, "Let's find ourselves a quiet place. And you can talk about what you've been up to." We need to find quiet places within ourselves to allow God to minister to all our needs at this time. Let us pray. Soul of Christ, be our sanctification. Body of Christ, be our salvation. Blood of Christ, fill all our veins. Water from the side of Christ, wash out our veins. May Christ's passion strengthen us. Good Jesus, hear us. In your wounds we would hide, never to be parted from your side. Guard us when our enemies assail us. Call us when our lives shall fail us. Commend and command us to come to follow you with all the saints who want to praise you. Amen. That was a prayer from the 14th century.